Welcome to How Now, the podcast where we talk about how to live in the now. And here's your host, Kim Martin Raymond.
And blessings, and welcome to this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. I am your host, Kim Martin Raymond. I'm a minister, spiritual life coach, health and nutrition awareness coach, author, and founder of Redefining You, LLC, where I help my clients to realign themselves mind, body, and spirit. And welcome again to season three of the How Now podcast. If you are new to the How Now podcast, welcome to our family. Make sure that you go to www.hownowpodcast.com and pick your favorite podcast platform, and be sure to like, follow, share, and subscribe. You can also scroll down to the banner for this week's show, and it will take you to the How Now YouTube channel, where you can like, follow, share, and subscribe there as well. And make sure that you hit the notification bell so you know what's happening in the now. And again, that's www.hownowpodcast.com. All right, so let's get into today's show, where we will be talking about unleashing your confidence in home or investment property purchasing. We know that it has been a season. It's been a buyer's market. It's been a seller's market. There have been so many things that have been going on in real estate. And, you know, as we're coming up on, the beginning of tax season and people are starting to file, people are looking for investment properties. People are looking to be first-time homeowners. And so to help to go through some of the weeds of the process is my lovely guest. And as is customary with the How Now podcast, I'm going to have her to introduce herself at this time.
Awesome. Thank you again, Kim, for allowing me to come on your show. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Again, my name is Denise Johnson, and I'm a realtor with Virtual Properties Realty. I'm an independent contractor for them. So I also have my business, which is called TrueSight Realty. And I became a realtor in the year of the pandemic. So it was an interesting time, which I'm sure we'll cover during our talks, but I'm enjoying it so far. In terms of the customers that I focus on, usually I'm flocked to those people that require more support. So naturally that's gonna be like first-time home buyers, investors, because they need a lot more information on the market, as well as seniors looking to downsize. So I'm looking forward to our podcast and sharing how I can help others.
Awesome. I am so delighted that you are here, because it's a timely topic. I love that you're talking about first time buyers. You talk about investors, because I know that I get a flood of phone calls. You know, I've been in my house 25 years, and I get a flood of phone calls constantly of people asking, are you selling your property? Are you selling your property? Are you selling your property? And I'm like, no, I've been here all this time. No, I'm not selling it. Not yet. But, you know, it's just interesting to know what the market is doing. You know, there are a lot of people who are selling. There are a lot of people who I know who have put their house on the market and their house has sold within days. And so there's been a lot of things going on. You have people who are retiring, people who have made some pivots in their personal lives and have looked to downsize, people who have said, you know, look, I'm looking to live a more minimalist lifestyle. And so I'm looking to downsize. So there are so many dynamics that are happening in the realm of real estate. And so, you know, like I said, we want to talk a little bit about that. But first, let's talk about how you got into real estate. And, you know, you said you started getting into it right at the beginning of the pandemic. So let's talk a little bit about that experience.
So I always hear people say that God has a sense of humor, right? So my husband and I, we had all these plans to continue on into real estate. The way we started was first with a flip. We actually found a property that myself, my husband, and a business partner worked on. We said, okay, we want to get into the flipping business. Let's start here. When we bought that first house, we actually saw that the property couldn't potentially be saved. So when we purchased it, we bought it at a lower price. However, once we got in, we saw that we couldn't save it. So we actually built the house from ground up, right? So we had to build a new construction property. And it just so happened that by the time we were done with the property, it hit at the beginning of 2020, right? So we had the property listed, it had just sold, and then we got the announcement that everything was shutting down in March. So the timing actually was it was right on time. It sold and then the whole country shut down. So all these plans that we had to flip, you know, we kind of had to put it on a pause because no one knew what was going to happen with the economy, with the market and so forth. So at the same time, the year before, my dad actually had a stroke. So we had to work on getting his stuff situated in New York and bring him down here. So the timing actually worked out, because if we were focused on continuing to do flips, starting out as a realtor, I wouldn't have been able to help my father the way that I did. So the timing actually worked out great. It's just that when you're in the mix of things, it kind of feels chaotic, but he sees the bigger plan, we don't. So we just kind of continue and step by step.
Wow, wow. So like you said, you were just, you know, you sold that property, and now you were saying you were going to flip. So once you sold the property, you were going to start investing into another property?
We were going to continue to look. At that moment in time where we shut down, I had just passed the test to get my realtor's license because I wanted to make sure I had access to the MLS and so forth. But God had different plans. So passed the test, had to wait to complete the process to get my license because the office was shut down. So I didn't get my license until later in the year. So of course, for that gap of time, I just used it to try to get my dad settled, get his property sold, and so forth.
Very good, very good. So like you said, it became a time to pivot. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Like you said, so once you got your dad situated and got him settled and what have you, and then like you said, so because you were still in the process of getting your license because the office was shut down, did you have access to the MLS? Were you able to get
it? No, I couldn't. There was nothing I couldn't act as a realtor. I couldn't get access to the MLS.
Wow.
We had to change track. And what I did at that moment in time was, outside of the stuff that I had to do for my dad, was to figure out, okay, what tools can I develop for my customers while I wait? Because I know that that's the path we wanted to do long-term. But I just think everything worked out for the good, right? Because it allowed me to create the tools so that once I actually did start getting customers, I can give them the information and they can kind of just run with it. So
very good, very good. So what happened was with your target audience, like you said, you started targeting people once you got your license and got things established and developed those tools. And we'll talk a little bit about what those tools were. You started looking in saying, okay, these are the people who I want to assist. And right. So how did you market to them?
It was a little bit differently, right? So in the beginning, it was more word of mouth, right? It was a little bit harder because everything was shut down. So you couldn't really get out and network and so forth. So I had to figure out how to get everything set up online. And then just talking to people I knew. I met a customer just getting a new phone for the business, right? Like, she helped me get a phone and she turned into a customer. So it really is just helping people understand how I can actually help them. I think it's on Alignable because that's how we met.
Mm-hmm.
One of the questions they ask you is, what's your superpower? What do you work really well at? And one of my things is making complicated situations simple. So naturally, the people that need some support were the ones that were more attracted to me. First-time homebuyers, they struggle with understanding the steps. And if you're not careful, you can end up with a product that will cost you thousands in the long run. So I simplify everything, make sure you understand all your steps along the way to make sure that you're comfortable once you actually do say, yes, I want that house, I want this loan product, you go forward with it. Or the investor, where do I start? Which property is going to be most profitable for me? So I use a lot of visualization tools to help investors see on a micro level what this neighborhood is doing, how it's trending. Where did it come from since the crash in 2007? So I'm going to inundate you with information, not in an overwhelming way, but in an easy to understand way.
Right. And you see, and that's powerful, you know, and just like you said, it's important, you know, to do things word of mouth because, yeah. You know, how else are people going to know, you know, if you're interested in properties or you're interested in finding out about being a first time homeowner, you know, you have to start doing your homework. You have to start looking around and look for people who specialize in those things. You know, you have some people who, you know, sell multi-million dollar properties and that's their niche, that's their expertise. And so I think it's important for people who are interested in home ownership or looking to invest or looking to downsize to specifically look for people who specialize in those things, because they're going to have a little bit more, you know, they're going to have done a little bit more of the legwork and you know, are able to, I guess, help people to transition into that space better than someone who's just going to say, oh, look, I just sell properties. This is why I sell. Do you want it or not? You know, and like you said, a lot of people are like, you know, I'm scared. I'm nervous. You know, I think about when I was a first time home buyer and I was 26 years old when I bought my home. And so, you know, I knew absolutely nothing about owning a home or what, you know, what I needed to do to prepare for that. And so, you know, I think it was important. I think at that time they were advertising for the county that I live in. They were talking about doing the little $500, they would give you $500 earnest money towards a home. And you had to sit through this, presentation that they had where they told you how to, you know, what steps you needed to take and what have you. And so, you know, I can imagine people after the pandemic saying, okay, well, you know, certain things are shut down. Were there some differences that happened in the process during the pandemic because of the lack of accessibility?
Yeah, the differences, number one, the real estate industry actually did a good job at pivoting, right? They also had to figure out how to continue to sell homes. So it was a time where they took advantage of technology, right? So you started seeing more of the virtual tours of the home since you couldn't really go in the house and so forth. But I think what the pandemic did was it forced you to be really prepared before you went in the market. Oftentimes I found that people just want to go see a house without really being prepared. But my customers, before you go out, we're going to make sure everything is in a row because you only had sometimes hours to make an offer on a house in order to get your offer accepted. Mm-hmm. But because my customers were prepared, they found a house in under 2 weeks. My customers would have a house under contract in 2 weeks in a market where people were going months to try to find a house or having to spend thousands of dollars over the list price in order to get the house. So I think what it really did was force people to get prepared if you wanted to find yourself in a house in that market, but not have to spend way over your, you know, your budget to get into a property. So,
right. And so when you say that you were helping to prepare them, that what did that process look like? Did we talk about finances first? Did we talk about preferences in a property or what they were looking for? How does that start?
It was all of that, right? So we oftentimes we naturally start with the finances, but we eventually had to get to the point of what did you want in a house? Because there really wasn't a lot of time to go search and try to figure that out. So we really had to hone in on what type of house did you want? What's the square footage? What neighborhood? So I would help them kind of navigate that process. But in the interim, we would look at finances with regards to your credit. So I've had a number of people that have credit issues. I helped them with fixing that. So a number of my customers had increased their credit scores as high as 100 points just before they went out to kind of go for a loan, because that can cost you a lot of money, right? If you don't fix that. So it really was customized to the customer and what they needed in order for them to hit their goals. We're going to look at your budget. We're going to figure out if there's room in your budget to try to save money so that you can save up for that down payment that you may need, or even just to live in a house in general, because I don't recommend going into a house and you don't have an emergency fund, right? I always tell the story of I was 23 when I purchased my first house, right? So you don't know. There's so much you don't know. But off the bat, maybe a few months into it, I'm getting ready to go to work. Press the garage door button and the garage just gets mangled, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm locked in my garage and I'm supposed to be at work in like an hour, right? So $2,000 later, I was able to get out of my garage, right? But if you're not prepared for those types of things, it's gonna be a curse rather than a blessing. So I not only just try to get my customers into a house, I wanna make sure that you're prepared financially before you get in, so you're not stressed out when you're in there, in your dream house.
right. And which is like, I love that you say that you help people to get prepared, because like you said, there are some people who are out there, you know, and we just have to be real about it, who just want to make the sale. You know, we've had some issues with, predatory lending and things like that, that were going on some years ago where they were putting people in houses and these people were working part-time, they were working temporary jobs. And you're like, how in the world did they get into
a house?
You know, and I mean, I've known people who did that, who were working temp, who were working part time, and they were able to get into a home, and then within months they were in foreclosure because they were not prepared. And like you said, for that rainy day. I mean, think about, you know, you said you were 23, I was 26. You know, you don't think about the things that you need. You know, you could be in your house and something spills and you're like, oh my goodness, let me just go and grab the broom and the dustpan to clean it. And you're like, oh, I didn't buy a broom or a dustpan, because wherever you were living before, especially if you were living with your parents,
right.
You didn't have the, you know, the little thing that, you know, I hurt myself, I need a Band-Aid. Oh goodness, I don't have any Band-Aids. You know, things like, it's little things. But now here it is, they don't think about the bigger picture. Like you said, your whole garage door is not opening. You're like, what do I do?
I got to get to work.
right. And it's not like you're in an apartment where you can just say, let me call a super and they do something. You've got to cut the grass. You've got to go out there. When you go out in that mailbox, it gets real when you go out to that mailbox and that first power bill or that first, you know, gas bill comes and your name is all over it. And you're like, ooh, this is me.
It absolutely gets. But I also want people to know the benefits, right? Because I have a number of customers who sold their properties and then ended up with so much equity, right? They have all this extra money that they can then buy another property with, they can invest it, right? So if you do it correctly, it'll benefit you in the long run. But it all depends on how you first start, right? Did you set yourself up properly to actually be a homeowner?
And I think that's important because, like you said, unleash your confidence, and you have confidence when you have knowledge in what it is that you're doing. So it's not just a matter of you know, like you said, being financially prepared, but just like you said, if you're a first time home buyer or if you're looking to do an investment property, think about the end result as well. Is this going to, you know, like, do you ask them with regards to the home, is this going to be the home that you want, you know, is it going to be your dream home? Is this the home that you want to retire in? Or is this just the first of many properties? What are the kinds of questions that you ask people when they're, you know, first embarking on this adventure?
Yeah, all the questions you just stated, and I also share statistics with them, right? Because sometimes first-time home buyers, again, they don't know. So on average, people stay in their homes for 10 years. It keeps increasing. Right. So if you know you're going to stay in your home for 10 years, then you plan for 10 years. Is this home still going to meet your needs in 10 years? Are you planning on having a family? Do you have enough bedrooms? Right. Do you have enough space? If it's an investor, the questions I'm going to ask are, well, what's your cap rate? What's the type of return you're trying to get on this property? How far do you want the property to be from your house? Because when you're dealing with tenants, that's a whole nother ball game. I grew up as a landlord's child. So I understand all the intricacies of having to deal with tenants and just making sure that you're getting things fixed. And when they don't pay, what are you going to do? Right. So especially for the new investors, I try to make sure that they're thinking about all these things in addition to looking at what the return is going to be before they make a decision. So,
yeah. And then also, like you said, you mentioned the seniors, people who are looking to downsize, you know, and we know there are some people, and then there are some seniors, and it's not to target anybody at all, who have a lot of stuff. You know, so you have people who are borderline hoarders. It's like, it's not just a matter of downsizing. What are you going to do with all that excess stuff that you have, you know, and what does that entail? You could say, I want to be in a smaller space because I want it to be cheaper. I don't want to cut lawn anymore. I don't want to do a thing. Or even if you have children that are adults now and they've moved on and you just are, you know, it's just too much house and you want to move down. The process of downsizing.
Yeah.
What are some of the challenges there?
You know, their situation is very complicated. And I got to see it firsthand with my dad, right? So I'm trying to manage everything from Georgia and he's in the Bronx, right? So imagine with seniors, your kids, sometimes they're not in the same areas as you. So you're going to need more support in order to be able to execute. But I always give an example of another customer I worked with. She was trying to make the decision on whether or not she should. And by the time we did the analysis, it actually didn't make sense for her to sell her property because she was going to have a more expensive mortgage because she didn't have enough equity in it, right? So I'm very sensitive to making sure that seniors are treated correctly, because I would want someone to do the same for my dad, right? So when we looked at the numbers, because she had so many tax credits with her current mortgage, it didn't make sense for her to sell. She was trying to free up more money to be able to do so, but she would end up with a higher mortgage and being on a fixed income, that would be difficult for her to incur. So we made the decision for her not to sell and to figure out some other ways for her to get the money that she was looking for.
Well, I love that you give that consideration as well, because sometimes it's not the right time to do it. And you don't want to force it. You know, I mean, I think I had opportunity some years ago to refinance my home. And, you know, they were like, well, if you know, we can bring your mortgage down $100, but we'll have to extend your mortgage another 15 years or another 30 years. And I'm like, if I'm 20 years in and then I'm going to add another 30 years to that. And then you have some people who will say, oh, you know, we'll roll your car payment and your credit payment into it. And I'm like, by the end of the day, suppose I decide to sell this house, my car and everything is rolled into this. So there are so many people out there who are trying to, you know, get your money and say, oh, but your mortgage will go down $100. But I'm thinking about what about all that other stuff? All that other stuff is going to go up. Or like if I had a credit card that was 22%, you're telling me, oh, well, we'll take it down. It's only be 11%, but it's going to be spread out over the next 30 years. And so it's important, like you said, to have people who are knowledgeable about the process and who are confident enough to say, you know what, I don't think this is going to be in your best interest.
Yeah, it's you know, real estate, it's one of the most expensive investments you can make, right? So my world before real estate was corporate. So I used to do a lot of analysis on whether or not an investment made sense for the organization. So I was forced to look at all aspects of the investment, right? Not just the spending, but what's going to happen when this product goes into the marketplace and so forth. So I kind of do the same things for my customers. If you sign up for this loan, just because you can get into it quickly, here's how much it's going to cost you in interest versus if we took the time to fix your credit, get a proper down payment, here's what it costs you, right? You're going to save a lot of money, right? So I want to make sure before my customers make a decision that you go in eyes wide open, right? So that you're comfortable with the decision you make. So I don't want my customers to be thrown off guard by, hey, this thing looks all shiny and nice, but like you said, long-term implications, you're rolling my car into this. What if I want to sell it? What happens? And so forth. So,
right. I mean, it's amazing. It is a huge undertaking. And I remember sitting in my closing and I mean, I went line by line. I must've been there for 3 hours. Cause I just said, okay, I don't understand what this word means or what does that mean? Or I don't understand that because, you know, you're signing your life away. In essence. And I was like, I don't want to sign away. I'm young. I'm not sure. I was debt free. And so I was like, you know, I want to make sure that what I'm signing is really going to be to my benefit, you know, and what am I going to do? And, you know, and how do I do this? And so, you know, when you talk about confidence, it does. It comes with education. It comes with being able to ask questions. And so I hope that, you know, that you know, make that availability to your clients so that they understand, okay, I'm not sure about this. Let me walk you through this process. Let me give you the confidence that you need to be able to sign and not sign with, you know, with your hands shaking, like, oh, I'm going to sign this. I'm scared. You know, just to be able to walk them through that.
That's exactly how I felt. It's like, my goal is to eliminate the guesswork from my customers. When I signed, I remember everything was all fun when I picked out the house, everything was pretty. My parents came to see it and so forth. But when I got to the closing table, I was so confused, right? There's like a stack of papers that you're signing. And at that time, they didn't have the rules in place, but they didn't really explain everything to me. So that was one of the things I worked on during the downtime. Like if you go to my website, you're going to see an explanation of everything you're going to go through in the home buying process. It's not just about finding the house. Is what are the forms that you're signing? What are these different types of loans, right? What does this mean in terms of dollars and so forth? So it really is about preparation for my clients, you know.
Now, the thing that I noticed is that like I said, the process is much quicker than it used to be, or it appears to be. Let me say that because I'm not 100% sure. You know, there are people, like I said, who are putting their house on the market and then 2 weeks later, the house is sold. And I'm like, Because when I remember the process, it was like, you know, you had to wait 45 days. You had to go through
That's
your lender and all the other
normal.
things. Now, yeah. So talk to me about that process, because I don't remember. I just remember, or maybe it just appears that once they get to that point, then it gets quick.
Yeah, so what you're discussing is what happened during the pandemic, right? So it was the whole supply and demand thing. So during the pandemic, interest rates were the lowest rates they were in 50 years, in over 50 years, right? It was 2 and 3%. So people that probably couldn't afford a house at a 6% rate, which is where it is now, they went out into the market because they're like, oh my God, I can afford it now. So you had all this demand for the same amount of houses that were on the market before, right? So people were able to sell their houses very quickly. I had a client, I saw the house he wanted. He was a cash buyer. We made the offer, and I gave that listing agent 5 hours to accept the offer, or else I was taking the offer away, right? And he won the offer. So you remember when I talked about that you had to be prepared in order for you to move quickly because houses weren't staying on the market. Well, it was because of the pandemic. You had so many buyers that were going after the same house that it gave the seller so many options, you know, that they could take advantage of that and get the price that they wanted. I think on average, at least in Georgia, home prices shot up, I think at peak, a little over $200,000 more than they were pre-pandemic. Right now, it's about $100,000 more than it was before the pandemic. So what you're describing are the dynamics that were created by the pandemic, but normally homes can be on the market for, you know, 6 months. Unless you have a really nice house that people want, that's in a school system you want, then it'll go faster. But that's not normal. That was a pandemic market.
Right, because I said, well, I said 2 weeks, a week, you know, a couple of days,
One
what
day.
in the world, 5 hours,
Hours,
this,
yeah.
and then next thing you know, and you're like, I just put it on the market, you
Yeah.
know. But there, like I said, there are just so many ways that people can do it now. Because I know, I think I heard an advertisement where you could put your house on the market online, like, you know, how like they have Carvana and things like that. Now they have it where you can do it for houses. What the world is that about?
Yeah, lots of changes, technology, everything. But at the end of the day, in order for to get what you want, you have to be prepared. You have to understand the market, what's changed, you know, what people are looking for, and so forth.
So what are you finding people are doing more of now? Are people doing a lot more investing and flipping houses, or is there a combination of both? Because like I said, you do with the seniors, you do with the investors, you do with the first time home buyers. What are you seeing more of late?
It's probably more of the buyers that are selling and purchasing. So for the first time home buyers, it did slow down because interest rates went up higher, right? So I think it was as high as like the average anyway was as high as 7.3%, somewhere around there. So it slowed down, but it's starting to tick down again, and we're having more people reach out. So it's definitely a different market than it was before, but people are still selling, people are still buying, just taking a little bit longer than it was before. So instead of it selling in a day, maybe your house is on the market for a month, 2 months. I think the average probably right now is going on 3 months.
Okay. So is it considered a buyer's or a seller's market at this
Still a
point?
seller's market.
Or a seller's market.
Still a seller's market. Once it gets up to, I believe, about 6 months worth of inventory, then it's more equal grounds, and buyers will have more negotiation power. However, I always share this tip with first-time home buyers that in the slow months, which is going to be like in the winter, you know, end of the year, beginning of the year, you can actually get good deals because there's less competition, right? More people are shopping peak times, right?
Right.
So look for deals on off-peak time. So you can find some products or houses that you like towards the end of the year for a lower price than you would necessarily get in the summer where everybody's looking, or the
Right.
springtime.
Right. And I think that's probably, and is that because school is out for the children, so it's easier to find a house during the summertime, so that way they can make the transition as opposed to trying to do it like around now because
Right.
everybody's back at school, the holidays are over. And now they're like, oh, I don't want to have to pull my child out of school, out of district, and things like that. But just like you said, it's an opportune time. So, I mean, those things have to be taken into consideration. So, that's a good tip for first-time home buyers. sometimes buy it off peak because then there's less competition. So I like that you're saying that. Is there an ideal time for people who are seniors for looking to downsize? Is there a peak time or a peak age or something like that?
I don't know that there's a peak time or age. What I do think they need to focus on is preparation, right? And just making sure you're ready and you understand what it is you want. Do you want to be in some place that's closer to your children? And if so, do you understand the implications of that? Or do you want to go someplace where your money can go a lot further and you can better, fund the different things that you're going to need at that age? So it really does depend on where you are in your stage as a senior and what it is that you're trying to accomplish. And those are some of the things I try to help my customers with before they go out and just make a big decision that may not, be helpful for them in the long run.
In their preparation, is it best for them to find somewhere to be temporarily? Because, I know there are some times where people are buying and selling at the same time, and then they're stuck with two mortgages or paying two mortgages because now they have two properties and the other one didn't sell as quickly or sold quickly. I had a relative whose property sold quickly and they hadn't picked out another place. So they had to float. They didn't know where to go because now it was like, I have to be out of my house in a month and I don't have anywhere to go. So
they have a few different options, right? So if you have family that you can stay with, yes, you can sell. And so that's what my father did. He sold with us. We figured out where he wanted to go and then purchase. But there's some people that don't have that option. So you have some mortgage products that would actually, there's called bridge loans, or there's products that will give you the money to purchase another house before you sell your house. So it just kind of depends on what it is you're trying to look for. Now there's a cost to that. Some charge 1-2%, but at least it gives you, the time frame to be able to find something before you sell your house and have no place to go. So there's a number of options that they can take advantage of at that time frame. It's just going to depend on their situation.
The important thing, like you said, is just making sure that you articulate what it is that you're looking to do, how long you're looking. Like you said, the average time that a person is going to be in a house is 10 years. And, there may be some people out there, people who will come to you and say, well, I'm really just looking to be in this house or in this area for 5 years. Say they have a teenage child and they say, well, after they graduate, we're moving into this area for this particular school district. But then after that, we can go anywhere. So are there people who are looking more for like a short term, I'm looking to be in this house for 5 years and then we're going to be looking somewhere else?
I haven't seen a lot of that. I think we saw more of that before this kind of time frame where people were moving with their companies, but we've seen a shift in the market, right? A lot of people are working from home. Less companies are having to relocate. They're still doing it, but you're not seeing it to the same levels that they were doing before. I was a product of that. I moved with my company a number of times, so I had to buy and sell with them. But if they are in that situation, sometimes it makes sense for them to look at the ARM products. So the adjustable rate mortgage products, where you can come in at a lower rate if you know for sure you're going to sell in 2 or 3 years, because after that time frame, the interest rate goes up every certain time frame. So it just kind of depends on your goal and what you're doing and why you're moving and so forth.
I love that because it is about empowering yourself and you have to be clear about what you want. You just can't say, just like you said, shiny and new. We just want to go, I just want a new house. I just want to build it from the ground up. And, those are things too. You have people who, where you have to ask them, do you want a pre-existing home or do you want a home built from scratch and, from the ground up and what all that entails? It's just, there are so many different dynamics.
There are. And you mentioned new construction. With new construction, if you're trying to get like a new build, you have to be careful, especially in this market. Some people were burned, right? Because with new construction, because that builder is making an investment in that house, they take a larger deposit, which sometimes if you don't read your contract carefully, you may not get that deposit back if you choose to back out of building that home. So you just have to make sure you understand what you're signing. Having a realtor by your side that can help you understand those dynamics is going to be really important. I had a customer who was wanting to have a new build, but the timeframe that it would take to build a house it wouldn't work for them, right? Because they had a lease that they were trying to get out. So we looked for a new construction property that was already on the market. It was just going to be finished built in about a month. So they didn't have to deal with some of the complications of a higher down payment because of that process. So understanding why you're doing what you're doing and what you're going through is very, very important.
Right. And I think about that. My husband is a contractor, and I think about the supplies, lumber and things and building materials. Things were on back order. And so we may have had a house that, you know, they said was going to be ready in a month, and then that pandemic hit and that month rolled out to 3 or 4 months because they just couldn't get their hands on the building materials.
Yeah.
So there are so many things to consider when you're talking about home ownership, like you said, those peak times and what your finances look like and you know, what's the square footage that you want? Do you want it to be a new construct or do you want it to be an existing property? You know, are you looking to move with your company, you know, fixed rates or adjustable rates? There are just so many terminologies along with this that I'm sure it could be, it's mind blowing. So you have somebody, like you said, like yourself, who's competent, who is going to ask those questions and, you know, that you can be open and honest with and say, this is what I'm looking at. This is what my credit score looks like. This is what I have for a down payment. What can you help me to do besides just put me in any house that's going to garner you a better profit? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I want something that's going to benefit me and you so that we can, you know, we can both be happy with the result and not just have it be that somebody is going to, you know, be in that position. So of course to get things you know, a little more on course with what is the course of action, what should a person, all right, they're sitting there saying, okay, I'm looking to be a new homeowner. I'm ready to start looking into that. What should they do first?
There's a lot of information online, but what I always recommend my customers to do is to empower yourself first, right? So that means you understand where your finances are and whether or not you can afford it. And on my website, I actually have the 10 steps to home ownership that is ordered in that way. So it's going to start with number one, why do you want to own a home? Because your why could be that thing that keeps you motivated throughout the process. Sometimes people start and they don't finish because their why wasn't strong enough. So why do you want to own? Can you afford it? If not, what budget do I need to be able to do so? So I have a tune online that you can do that with. I had one of my customers who plugged her numbers into the budget and then realized there was a couple of areas where she was spending way too much than she should have versus the recommended amount for that number. So she made some adjustments and started saving $600 a month just by using the tool.
Wow.
Right. So you're going to have the budget. We're going to then look at your credit. Everything is on my website for free. You can do that. You can also set up sessions for me to help you to do so. Fix your credit. And then the fifth step is really around affordability. So based on this budget that I put together, here's the amount of home that I can afford. And then you start reaching out to your realtor partners, your lenders and so forth, because now you're then educated and you're not really relying on someone else to tell you what you can go into, right? So you're just empowered and then you're better able to negotiate. That's what happened with a lot of my customers. They had better credit scores. They could command a better interest rate. We could negotiate better once we actually got a home under contract and get some money back. So it really is about empowering yourself first before you go out into the market.
Wonderful. Now, is it the same? Is it the same too for investors as well? Can they use those same tools to?
For the investors, because we get into so much more information, if they tell me what they're looking for, then I spit that information out for them. So for example, I had a customer who was interested in investing in Dunwoody. So I had to pull the information together for that area so she can kind of see how the market grew from 2007 up until this time frame. And there were a number of peaks in there. So depending on where the customer is looking, I'm going to customize a report for them and for them to understand why they're investing in there and will it help them to make the numbers that they're trying to get to with that investment property. What happened with that customer, she ended up going outside of that original target just because it wouldn't have met her numbers. But it was all about the education. Oftentimes investors already have some of the information that first-time home buyers are looking for, so they don't have to focus on that. But where they need some guidance is really on the market and the properties that are out there.
Again, and being able, like you said, to do the legwork, work on canvassing the area and seeing what the numbers are looking like there. Okay, and then of course, finally, for the seniors, do they use that same tool as well, or is there something that they do a little different?
They are more customized as well because all of their situations are different, right? Like for this customer, I had never seen somebody that had so many tax credits. Like her payment was $500, right? Once you sold that, you're going to get, your mortgage is going to be that much more expensive, but she didn't have a lot of equity, right? So each one of those people are a little bit more customized. They may be able to find some information on there, but they've already gone through the steps of knowing how to get a mortgage and knowing how to find a property. Their situations are a little bit more complicated in terms of where do I go next, right?
Right. But like I said, it's interesting because, you know, when you think about downsizing, you say, okay, I'm moving into a smaller property, it's going to be cheaper. But just like you said, for a person like me who's been in my house for 25 years and my mortgage is super low, it may be advantageous for me to stay right where I'm at and keep paying this, because I look at some people like, oh, I'm in an apartment, it's like $1,300 like that. And I'm like, I might be paying $800 or $900 because I got a really good deal way back when. And so it may not be in my best interest, but you know, I'm like, okay, let me just go ahead and sit down, even though, you know, I may be tired of mowing this lawn. Maybe it'd be cheaper for me to get somebody to come and mow the lawn than it is for me to move into a smaller place and wind up paying a higher, you know.
Right. And like I said, it all depends on their situation. Like if you're coming from a more expensive market than going someplace that's cheaper, you'll move into a mansion, it'll still be cheaper, and you have money left over to invest, right? So everyone's situation is different.
Yeah, but I love that you say that. It's about educating yourself first before you even step out there and start running behind looking for these properties. And I'm sure that, you know, it's also important for people who, you know, are getting these phone calls. Like you said, like I was telling you earlier, people, you know, call every day asking, are you selling your property? What is something that people should be mindful of for those kind of calls? I know it's a little bit of a sidebar question, but for people who may be downsizing or seniors who may be downsizing and people are calling and asking about them selling their properties, is it wise for them to just say, okay, this person's making a cash offer on my house, do I just say yes? You know?
No, I you can consider it, but also understanding your home's value. So, and I say that with a grain of salt because sometimes people overestimate the value of their home, right? They see houses that maybe have sold for a certain amount in a neighborhood, but what they haven't taken into consideration is their house probably needs more work than that house that sold where they did renovations on. So there's some information that you can glean online, but oftentimes realtors will help you with a property assessment. So you can understand, here's the range of where you could potentially place your house. So you can then decide whether or not it makes sense to sell it to an investor or someone that's reaching out to purchase the property.
Very good, very good. Like I said, this is vital information. These are things that people need to know, those first steps that they need to take, you know, peeling back those layers so that way they're making the most informed decisions that they can make, you know, with regards to that first time ownership, whether it's that investment property or if they're looking to downsize. Do your homework first and partner with a competent realtor who's going to be looking out for your best interests. Like you said, looking into your finances, looking into, you know, what things are best in your market. And more importantly, letting you know, if it, you know, just saying, you know, being honest with the person and saying, you know, now is not the time, you know, and maybe you'll hurry up and wait, you know, where you're not, you know, doing something that's going to, you know, cause, you know, have long-term effects that are not going to be to your benefit. So do your homework. Okay. So as we're starting to wrap things up, you know, I want to ask people how they can get in contact with you first, and then we'll go to my next question from there. But how can people get in contact with you if they're interested in using those tools that you were talking about or just interested in working with you?
Yeah, so they can go to my website. So it's TruSite Realty, TRUSITE Realty.com. They'll see all the tools there. Some things they may have to sign up for. It's still free. You're just putting in your email address and phone number. They can find me on social media under True Sight Realty. So I'm on Instagram, Facebook, on Google. They can find me all over the internet. And then they can call me if that's what they're most comfortable with, or text me at 678-332-7959. I have a number of tools that they can take advantage of. I have a first-time homebuyer workshop. It's no obligation. But at the workshop, you walk away with a customized plan to purchase your home. So we're going to look at credit. We're going to look at budgeting and some of the things that you would have to qualify for when you apply for your mortgage. There's a bunch of tools they can take advantage of.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So that's www.truesiterealty.com. That's TRUSITE realty.com. You can find that at True Sight Realty on Instagram and on Facebook. Or you can reach her by phone at 678-332-7959. And that will be in the description when the show airs. So you'll be able to get in contact with Denise and find out what you need to do to gain that confidence in your investment or home buying, property purchasing. Okay. Now, one thing that I always ask my guests before we go is, how are you living in this now? We are in this new space. You know, some people say we are post-pandemic, but we are still very much in this pandemic and, you know, finding ways to navigate in this space. What are some things that you are doing to live in this now?
Yes. So I'm saying yes to all opportunities to network. So that's how you and I connected. It was at an Alignable networking event. But as these different opportunities come up, I say yes to it. So for example, I'll be sponsoring a table at A Taste of Suwannee in March, if anyone wants to come see me. It'll actually be me and several partners. It'll be mortgage lenders, inspectors, where people can come and get their questions answered at the table while they get some good food, right? Because there'll be a number of different restaurants that'll be there. And we'll have our table off to the side so they can come see us at A Taste of Suwannee. And then just saying yes to continuing to put more information out there for customers. So I'll be launching a series on Gwinnett and why it's a place, the new place to be, right? It's one of the fastest growing counties in Georgia. So it would allow them to understand why people are flocking here and why it's a good place for both buyers and investors.
So. That's it. Awesome. Like I said, though, so that's Taste of Suwannee. If you are in the Georgia area, and that's going to be in March, and just be looking out for that, and then you may be able to go by and see Denise and let her tell you a little bit more about empowering you for that investment property at home ownership or that downsize. So that is awesome, Denise. Thank you so much for being with me today and for talking about this topic, because like I said, it's timely. People need to be educated. And, we're happy to have platforms where we can, let people know what the possibilities are for that. So before we go, I always ask, is there any other thing that you want to leave with our listeners before we go?
Just reiterate, empower yourself before making decisions. Like, there's nothing like being confident when you go out to buy, especially an expensive product like a house, right? There's nothing like being confident in the decision you make instead of having buyer's remorse. So just empower yourself.
That's it. All right. So you heard it here. Be empowered. All right. And so Denise, like I said, thank you again for being with us. As I say to all of my guests, you are now part of the How Now family. You are always welcome back, because what's happening today may not be what's happening tomorrow or down the line. We say it's a seller's market now. Things may level out in another couple of months, and we want to be able to address those things as they come along too. So we look forward to having you come back. So you're always welcome. Thanks again for being here. And that will do it for this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. And until we see you all the next time, I say peace.
Thank you.